Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks for joining us once again this week on the program. Later on, we will talk to Chris Ledyard. He is the athletic director at J. Sarah High School, and lots of great stuff going on with the Lions athletic program out there, including some breaking news. So we'll have that with Chris Ledyard a little bit later on. And we're also going to talk with the Servite head baseball coach as well, and that's Sean Gilbert, and we'll talk about his Friar team and a little bit about his professional baseball career as well. But we are going to kick off the show this week by talking about the modern-day Monarchs. They kind of shocked the world, I think, a little bit, because they weren't necessarily the favorite going into this CIF Southern Section Open Division basketball tournament, but they won their 23rd section championship under head coach Gary McKnight. Let's kick off the show this week by welcoming in Frank Burleson. He's the Dean of Basketball Writers in Southern California. And Frank, I wanted to have you on right off the top because, surprise, surprise, modern day is the CIF Basketball Open Division champions. I don't know if too many people who saw this coming. Did you?
I thought that was a great chance. Let's say from Nike Extravaganza, when they look so impressive, yeah, the Monarchs look so impressive, beating a very good Chino Hills team that in hindsight, at the time, he said, okay, good win. But in hindsight, that was a heck of a win based on what Chino Hills since then, which has won the Division I championship with a very impressive win over Pasadena on Saturday night. So I think in hindsight, you could kind of look at that game as a real, real good example of what that modern-day Monarchs team was evolving into, and certainly in the last 5 weeks since that win over Chino Hills, this has developed into a team that not only now is the Southern Section Open champion, but certainly has a pretty good chance, as good a chance as anybody, as the number one seed in the best section from the best section in the state to win a state open title since first time since Stanley Johnson was the senior. So this team has evolved very nicely over the course of the season. Certainly, you knew Spencer Friedman and Michael Wong were going to be outstanding, but the evolution, as we've seen, Bob, of Harrison Butler, not just in terms of, you know, maybe the team's third scoring option, but also a real lockdown defender, as he showed Friday night against Dwayne Washington Jr., Ohio State bound guard, Wilhelm Breidenbach's improvement, Reagan Lindane solid play and good play that they got off the bench Friday night after Wong fouled out, Aiden Prukup coming off the bench and making the big free throw and making some big plays. So this is a team that's played very, very well, beating certainly two terrific teams or three terrific teams in Crespi, which was the number in the first round of the Open, which is the number two seed in the Division I regional playoffs, and then followed that up with a good win against Etowanda over at Cal Baptist, and then Friday night championship win against Sierra Canyon. Very, very gifted Sierra Canyon team. So this is a team that I think really, really, really has come together, especially over the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
Obviously, everyone who follows high school basketball in this area, they know the resume of Gary McKnight is. But you know, can we say this is one of the better coaching jobs this year of Coach McKnight and obviously Coach Jason Quinn, his top assistant as well?
Yeah. Again, and it's certainly McKnight, the dean, you know, Hall of Fame coach, not only the dean of coaches in California, but one of the elite successful coaches in the history of high school basketball. But yeah, again, when you talk about modern day and Coach McKnight would be the first one to say this, you got to talk in terms about the staff from Jason Quinn to across the board. This is a staff that leaves no stone unturned, leaves no bit of preparation undone, you know, in terms of the film room, evaluating and prepping for an opponent, and also translating all the stuff they see on film and scouting reports into how they prepare a team in the gym during practice, and then executing all those things and the game against, you know, in games against high quality opponents just speaks volumes for the depth of this program in terms of, you know, not only the quality of player they have and the facility they have, but also in terms of the depth and the experience and the savvy of this coaching staff.
The Hall of Famer, Frank Burleson, joining us. BurlesonOnBasketball.com is the website. Check it out because all the continuing coverage as we head into to the regional and state championships coming up. Obviously, all season long, you know, it was Bishop Montgomery was the number one team. And I think most people thought Etiwanda was kind of the default, you know, number two team most of the season. But that turned out to be the consolation game, as we found out. It was the two teams in Sierra Canyon, Mater Dei, that were coming on at the end that ended up playing for this title.
Yeah, and again, when you look at the teams, I mean, again, let's just don't say that this is kind of locked into the way it's going to be, you know, and you know, in the next coming 2 weeks or week and a half or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, a lot could change.
yeah, a lot could change. Again, remember, you know, Sierra Canyon had 3-point blank shots. I mean, yeah. Layup attempts, basically, that didn't go in. They knocked that in. They put that game into overtime. Suddenly, Mater Dei has got to play 4 more minutes without Michael Wong and with Spencer Friedman with 4 fouls, so that could easily turn. And you look at, you know, the week before, Sierra Canyon's win over Bishop Montgomery, where, again, everything down in from the regulation to the first overtime and the second overtime, Sierra Canyon made one big shot, spectacular shot, unbelievable shot after another. So, you know, Bishop Montgomery wins that game, and who knows what happens Friday night. Let me say. But, again, I think as we saw what Mater Dei has done, certainly, and beating 3 quality opponents, certainly every bit the number one seed going into this thing and the quote-unquote favorite. But, again, when you're looking at a Bishop Montgomery team that, you know, bounced back from that loss to Sierra Canyon with a very, very, certainly a more impressive win, if you will, again, and for third place over at Etiwanda to get that number 3 seed, again, who knows? I mean, you know, you think Sierra Canyon is going to look forward to playing Bishop Montgomery a second time around come next Tuesday night, barring upset, of course, any upsets on Friday night with, you know, Bishop Montgomery going to play the San Diego champion and Bishop Bay, and then Sierra Canyon having to take on Foothills Christian, which was the runner-up. So quality games, I mean, again, nothing quite like the Southern Section's Open Division championships and bracket, and certainly now we're seeing basically that again with the top 4 teams plus, you know, San Diego champion, LA City champion, and the respective runner-up. So the quality basketball that we've seen is just going to continue for the next 3 weeks or so, you know, culminating in certainly the state championships and all the different divisions in Sacramento.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the tournament gets even better because, right, you add in Ed Azam's Westchester Comet team who won a city title in L.A., and you add in that great Fairfax team and the great Mission Bay team down from San Diego. You're right. I mean, this is just, you add it to those teams who are already in the Southern Section, and you're talking about maybe the best tournament in the nation right now.
Oh, I don't think, you know, again, we're obviously biased because we see this, right. We live this basically every late winter, early spring. But again, the quality of teams, the quality of coaches, the facilities that these teams play in with, you know, Cal Baptist, outstanding side, I thought, for the semifinals a week ago Saturday night, and then certainly, you know, Long Beach State's Pyramid, which will be the site of the Division I and Open Division Southern Regional Finals a week from this coming Saturday.
Frank Burleson joining us. Burleson on basketball.com is his website. Obviously, you know, Bol Bol was going to be a big presence for Mater Dei. That didn't happen. He transferred out. There was a kid to the point guard who went back to Seattle. A lot of moving parts for Mater Dei this year. Is it even more impressive that they were able to put all that aside and you know, really focus on getting this team together and being able to win this championship?
Yes and no. I think sometimes, Bob, we get hung up on looking at a team's individual parts, mm-hmm. in terms of, oh, he's a college prospect, he's a 7-footer, he's got 50 scholarship offers, and some people, again, and sometimes you get seduced by all these individual, highly touted individual players, but that doesn't always translate into having the best team. And, you know, teams about a whole lot of moving parts that have to be meshed into a workable unit. And sometimes, again, not to criticize Bobo or to say that if he was still around, they would be even more dominant or playing even better than him now. But again, no fault to Bobo. He's a tremendous player and, you know, has a chance to be a very good college player at Oregon and someday be in the NBA. But again, I think all the tremendous, and you know, I think Coach McKnight would be the first one to tell you, of all the best Mater Dei teams in terms of execution, playing well together, doing the things in as close to the way you rehearse it in practice as possible. That hasn't always been the modern-day teams with the most individually gifted players. And I think this team, you know, certainly with three seniors who are signed letters of intent, with Friedman Spencer going to Harvard and Michael Wong going to Pennsylvania, and Harrison Butler having committed to sign with the University of Southern Utah, they have individual talent. But again, this chemistry, I think, and when you think of all the really good modern day teams that really just clicked in every aspect of the game, it's not always been the most talented team. It's the teams that have executed and played well together and had skills that complement one another. And I think this team, you know, certainly fits into that mold.
You know, obviously, the storyline had a bit of a David versus Goliath feel to it. Not that you can ever count out a modern day team, but this Sierra Canyon team with Taryn Frank and Kenyon Martin Jr. and Dwayne Washington and Scottie Pippen Jr. I mean, you talk about all those names and you're thinking, man, all that individual talent, the feeling going in was that all that talent together, they were starting to come together as a team. That the sky's the limit for that Sierra Canyon team.
Well, and again, it still might be. Again, we're talking one or two plays and, you know,
right.
A shot here, a turnover here, a tip in here. And maybe we're talking about, you know, modern day being the two seed, you know, playing Foothills Christian instead of Fairfax. So, again, I don't think anybody certainly looked at it as any time you've got, you know, it's very rarely that, you know, a modern day program is looked upon as, you know, the David in a matchup. I think the last time we really saw that, where they were an overwhelming, probably underdog in hindsight in terms of all things, was you think back 2 years ago when, you know, a very, very good modern day team played a team that in hindsight was one of the great California teams of memory, and Chino Hills team that was 35-0. And certainly, I mean, when you look back on that team, you go, whoa, maybe it was even better than we thought. When what Lonzo Ball's doing now as a Laker, what Onyeka Okongwu is doing at Chino Hills is a junior big man, you know, the most dominant player in the state right now. And then Eli Scott, who was also a key member of that team as a junior, you know, averaged about 13 a game as a freshman for Loyola. And we're not even, and Cameron Shelton was the sixth man on that team, and he averaged 26 a game for Damien this year. And that's not even mentioning the two Ball brothers, the other two Ball brothers, and, you know, Mello Ball and Jello Ball. So in hindsight, that was the team that thoroughly dominated everybody in the playoffs, including modern day. So I think that was the one time that we could look back in a state, in a Southern section championship or playoff game or a regional game or even a state championship game in which you would say, you know, modern day's really, really got to soar ahead of them if they're going to knock this team off.
And you don't really have to go too far back to remember a modern day team that was led by, you mentioned Stanley Johnson. Jordan Strawberry is part of that team who didn't win the CIF title, but did go on to win a state championship. So it can be done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, this is, you think back. Yeah. I mean, that was with Stephen Thompson on that team. And I don't even think Stanley was on that team. That was the year after Stanley. And, you know, Bishop Montgomery won it and turned around and had a one, I think, upset modern day in the semis. And Bishop Montgomery beat Etowah in the finals. And then modern day got a shot in the open semifinals against Bishop Montgomery. I think the game was over at Redondo and played just tremendous basketball in terms of the same kind of execution and defensive soundness and offensive execution that we've seen out of modern day the last 3 or 4 weeks. That was on display against a very good Bishop Montgomery team. And, you know, they went on to beat Fairfax in the final and then lost that, you know, heartbreaker. I think that was, what, one or two overtimes to Bishop O'Dowd and Ivan Robb up in Berkeley.
Right. Right. Frank Burleson joining us once again, Burleson on basketball.com. I tell you, this basketball tournament's going to be so huge coming up. If you had to handicap it, if I put you on the spot to pick a winner, can you do it?
you know, it's tough because there's going to be a sleeper in this open division, Bob. I think this Mission Bay team is very, very good. The one that's going to go out and play Bishop Montgomery on Friday night, the team that won the San Diego Open Championship. Junior dominated in a very good team. Marshawn Cherry, a good coach, good young coach, and Boogie Ellis, a very, very good junior point guard. So again, you know, it's hard to pick against Bishop Montgomery playing at home, regardless of who they play. But I think Bishop, that has a chance to be a very good game. And I think, you know, the other very good game, in my humble estimation, is going to be, you know, Etiwanda playing at Westchester. And again, Fairfax Modern Day is going to be good. Fairfax is, you know, tremendous backcourt. You know, Jamel Hartwell and Ethan Anderson and a very good junior forward, Robert Smith, and a pretty good, excuse me, Robert McCray, and Kirk Smith, a 6'6 post guy, is a good player. And, of course, Steve Bake, who's the coach at Fairfax now, was the coach of that Chino Hills team, not only the one, the 35-0 team a couple of years ago that, you know, won the section and won the state, but also when Lonzo Ball was a sophomore and Stanley Johnson was a senior. Remember, that was that championship game at the Honda Center, which I think ended up being a two-point game or something. Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of quality options, viewing options for anybody who loves high school basketball here in the next two or three weeks.
So true. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, and I know you'll be out there, and we'll all be following it. Frank Burleson, again, thanks for joining us this week, and I know it was kind of late notice, but I wanted to get you on and get your thoughts because the 23rd section championship for Modern Day, it's quite an accomplishment for them this year, but again, Modern Day is Modern Day, and you can never count them out.
No. Again, anybody who counts them out, be it December, be it January, be it February or March, that's a big mistake. They're always going to get that staff's always going to get the utmost out of what they have on any particular roster.
Hey, thanks again, Frank. When the smoke clears after the state, we'll have you back on, and we'll break it down as well. Burleson on basketball.com is the website. Frank, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Have a good one.
Bye. All right, you too. That's Frank Burleson. Once again, Burleson on basketball.com. You got to go and log on and read all the stories because this state tournament is really going to be something special. We'll take a quick break right here on Catholic Sports View, and we'll come back. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Friday? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's Fish Taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
To Catholic Sports View, and we're going to welcome into the program Chris Ledyard. He is the athletic director at J. Sarah High School, in charge of the Lions athletic program down there, and we got a lot to talk about. Thanks for joining us again this week.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, long list of things as I wanted to talk to you and get you on the show. The list just kept getting longer, and we start off with breaking news. You have a CIF girls soccer championship team again for the second year in a row. That's obviously an excitement around campus again here today.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful year. It's been a great repeat for these girls. They are an incredible team to watch play, and pretty much each time I get to see them, I'm proud to be associated with them.
You know, obviously we know it's so hard. The soccer community, I mean, it's just crazy in Southern California. There's so much good soccer. So if you win a championship in this area, you know you've earned it. You know you've got a talented team, obviously.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, coming from a soccer background myself, I've been pretty blown away with what I've seen in this area altogether, and in particular our team. But the girls' soccer here really, truly is some of the best high school soccer that I've ever seen in the country.
What does it do to the morale around campus when a team does win a championship? When you come back from a weekend and it's Monday, as we're taping here, it's a Monday morning. What does that do to the kids around campus? I imagine it jazzes them up a little bit.
It does. It's particularly great right now because they're excited. They know we get to host. If we keep winning, that we get to host several games here. That's something that sort of puts a completely different picture on it because you get a chance to be in your backyard for the next several games.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, obviously, to be a part of that ride anytime you get a chance to do it. Chris Ledger joining us. Jay Sarah, Lions Athletic Director. You know, speaking of good things going on campus, you got a brand new baseball stadium, which I know has already been debuted to a lot of people. But for those who haven't seen it, and I'm dying to get down there and actually see it in person, this is really something just by looking at the pictures.
It's beautiful. This will make you laugh. I literally went out on a date with my wife one day when it first got finished, and I said, "Hey, you're going to have to forgive me. I want you to come by the baseball field and just look at it." So on our way to our date, we actually stopped at the baseball field, and she said, "Gosh, that really is beautiful." So we got a kick out of that.
Where else would an athletic director take his wife on a date, right? To an athletic field, of course. I know so much hard work, went into making this a reality. From the time you started to what you see now, was it exactly what was planned out?
No, there were some changes along the way, but I think all those changes were for the better. You know, working on the project itself and being very closely associated with the actual construction, it was. I've done some of that in my previous career in the collegiate world, and it was an interesting process here. To have it for the first time in California. There's a few laws in California that are pretty new to this Ohio boy. So sort of navigating around those was interesting, but I also have found that I've grown a lot in the process, and I think there's more things to be completed, not just the baseball field, but also the football field. And we just finished building four team rooms, a couple for aquatics and a few for the indoor sports, volleyball and basketball. And some outdoor concession stands and restrooms. So it's really been, 18 months that I've been here today. Actually, today is my, anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Right on. And been some incredible growth. And not just with, like you say, the physical things, but also with the growth of the teams and new coaches. And it's been exciting.
Well, and so many great things have happened under your watch already in just these 18 months. Obviously, it's a transformative time for Jay Sarah High School. How important is it for the campus to have, what now is really becoming and in some ways already was, world-class athletic facilities that will attract kids to want to come be part of the Jay Sarah community?
Yeah, that is a sort of the first step. It's a thing that gets you in the door, looking at the school, but also there are other things, I think, for the growth of the school. There's a certain ethos right now that is between the coaches that is very impressive. There's a lot of sharing going on and ideas and projects and best practices that I see these coaches with each other really looking to each other for support. And that's really what I wanted to try to do coming here, just create a team of coaches who really care about each other and show up for each other's programs. And It's exciting. It's exciting to see that. I think that's the deeper part of what we're doing, but the cachet of the look, and also the fact that these facilities are getting better for the development of the athlete. It's pretty impressive. It's definitely beautiful to see.
Well, it's definitely, and I can't wait to get down there and actually lay eyes on it in person. I know talking with Coach K a month and a half ago, he was just giddy about the chance to get out there and let the kids be a part of it. And it's really the best facility now, I guess, in Southern California.
That's great news. I mean, I know that Coach K is a fantastic coach, and he's done some great things, and I'm sure he deserves it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Chris Ledger joining us. He's the head of the athletic department over at Jay Sarah High School. And speaking of breaking news, you have a new water polo coach as well. I noticed when you bring a hire in to be a coach, I mean, it's somebody who really has an impressive resume. And Brett Ormsby, as your new boys water polo coach, certainly a former Olympian, certainly the resume is there. How excited to have him on board now?
I think he is a phenomenal hire and a great human being. I look forward to working with him. I think as in a lot of things in life, my dad used to say the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think essentially, St. Augustine had a saying that we need to work like it depends on us and pray like it depends on God. And in the acquisition of Brett Ormsby, that's pretty much how I feel about what happened. I think some circumstances sort of took place where he was free at a particular moment, and we were looking at a particular moment. We had a collaborative team looking for great coaches in the country, and I believe we found one of the greatest instructional coaches in water polo in America.
I mean, you hit a jackpot when you hired Celine Rigo last year to be your girls' water polo coach. You know, she's come in and made a big difference already. And so I'm sure you're looking for Coach Ornsby to come in and do the same thing and build this Lion water polo program up into the upper echelon. There's some good programs already, as we know, in Southern California.
Yes, I mean, it's a great place. And geographically, I think we're pretty much set in the right place to bring in a guy like Brett. Yeah, also Celine Rigo. I mean, the way I look at this program now with Kevin Clemens as a swim coach, mm-hmm. What we were trying to do is put together an aquatics program that, you know, has the potential to be second to none. It has the potential to really work together and raise all boats at the same time, if you'll pardon my pun.
Obviously, the bar gets raised, right? I mean, it's the Trinity League, so I mean, you have to have the top coaches to compete in this league because, man, there's no shortage of great athletes in this league.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
You know, you talk about the coaches coming on campus. You had one big coach leaving this year. Zach Brogdon, the boys basketball coach, announced that he was stepping down his position at J. Sarah. You know, lots of success, obviously, there with the basketball program. But I know Zach is going to move on to do some bigger things, obviously, in his life that he wants to go on and tackle. But it's going to leave a big hole there in that boys basketball program.
You know what? It is going to leave a big hole. Zach is not only a great coach, he's a great person mm-hmm. to work with, and he's been a great leader within his organization as well. He's a very detailed and together guy who really looks at every detail and I think ruminates about the extent to which he coaches and how he needs to coach. And he's also a very prayerful guy. You know, he's a guy who brings the faith to the court, and he truly develops in mind, body, and spirit his own athletes. So it was interesting, you know, to have him leave. It leaves a big hole. It's kind of shocking, but at the same time, when you know Zach and you see that what a faithful guy he is, the fact that, you know, he just recently got married and that they decided as a couple to become youth pastors, you got to wish him the best. I mean, that kind of thing is pretty beautiful. We're always asking, you know, our coaches to hear God's voice, and I know in my own life I'm always asking myself, driving myself to do the same thing. And so for Zach to walk in and say, hey, guess what, I think God's calling me a different place, I've got to be very open-minded to that, even though the temporary pain stings a little bit.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We have to be open to listening to those things, and we wish Zach well in his next stop in his life and his career. Obviously, it opens up a chance now to open up another job search, and I'm sure you've already begun that search to fill that opening.
Yes, we have. So we're going to keep the job posted till March 9th, and we've received a lot of applications, and I'm sure we'll continue.
Oh, I'm sure you have, right?
Next week. Basketball coaches call your house, they call your mom. That's sort of the way the basketball coaching thing goes. I mean, you'll get calls from head coaches from, you know, Texas A&M saying, hey, I want to tell you about my, you know, assistant athletic or my assistant basketball coach who is applying for your job, and it goes on and on. It's quite an experience to hire a basketball coach.
Yeah, it's when these jobs come open in the Trinity League, as you well know, I mean, there's no shortage of interest in coaches who want to become part of the Trinity League, you know, and it really is something special.
It is. It's something special, and it's also, you know, these guys are driven, and they're going to come in, and they're going to share with you from A to Z how it is they're going to change your program. So,
what else is going on at J-Sarah? Anything else that we don't know about? Obviously, we had a couple of breaking news stories, but how's everything else going on campus there?
It's going very well. I think we've had some real success in some of the blending of just real development in mind, body, and spirit, and keeping that as the central ethos for, you know, rebuilding some of the areas that we're rebuilding in athletics, but also just working with the coaches that have been here for a long time and working off the dedicated hard work that's gone into it up to this point. It's been a blessing to be here, and it's been eye-opening to see the kind of talent that, you know, shows up on campus, and it's good to know that it's our job to be stewards of that talent and these kids that are coming.
Well, it's a special place, it's a special community, and you're a big part of that. And we want to thank you again for joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon when you make that basketball hire.
Right on. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks. That's Chris Lanyard, the athletic director at J. Sarah High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Therese. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Fried Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.
Let's welcome into Catholic Sports View Sean Gilbert. He's the head baseball coach at Servite High School. Coach, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us this week.
No problem. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of want to talk about your career a little bit as well, but let's start off by talking about the Friars off to a great start so far this baseball season. You got to be happy with what you're seeing with your team. I know just a couple of games in, but always good to get off on the right foot.
Yes, it is. I mean, we're pleased with what we've done so far, but the message is sent every day: hey, we got to keep working. We need to get better at all the little details of the game, and for the most part, I'm pleased with what we've done, and the kids are playing hard and they're doing a good job. It's a good group of kids.
You get a chance to play some great teams, of course. We'll talk about the Trinity League in a couple of minutes as well, and that's enough right there in itself to have to deal with the teams that are along with you in the Trinity. But before you get there, you get a chance to play some games at USC. It's kind of a different atmosphere. Is that good to put the kids kind of maybe out of their comfort zone and have a chance to play in those kind of venues?
Yeah, I think we do that. Number one, it's affordable, and number two, it's a good stage. Kids get to see a college field up close and get excited about that. The kids love night games. I mean, that's under the lights for some reason. I guess I would have too. Back in when I was in high school, it's just the atmosphere is a little bit more intense. It's a night game. It's under the lights. Everything's a little bit more special. And then when you add SC and we also went to Cal Baptist earlier this year and last year and played a game there. It's a really nice facility as well. It gives them an opportunity to see colleges and what facilities really are like at the college level, even as, Cal Baptist is now D1 or going D1 very shortly. It's a really good opportunity for them to see different venues and get a little excitement behind it as well.
Is that something you do as a coach? You try to put yourself, obviously you were a high school baseball player once upon a time, but do you kind of maybe think back on those times and try to put yourself in the shoes of the kids now and maybe, try to do some of the things that maybe you would have liked back then and try to give them those experiences now?
Yeah, sort of. I think it's more popular now because in Southern California, there's so many colleges in a close proximity and it gives them an opportunity to be under the lights and the opportunity to see these college campuses that they may not get a chance to play at. Some of them will move on and go to college, but not all of them get an opportunity to be on the baseball field at USC or Cal Baptist. And it's a D1 facility and it's really, really nice. And we try to do something like that. And you hit on a little bit as far as getting them out of their comfort zone. And if we want to go deep into this thing, like we're hoping to, you're going to be playing at places that you're not comfortable playing or you've never been to before. So we have to practice that as much as possible. You're going to be under the lights and we don't have lights. So as many opportunities as we can to get them under the lights and get some night games in and to change your schedule a little bit is a really good practice for high school kids to be able to separate their day from going to school and not rushing into a baseball game, but be able to manage their time throughout the day and then get to a game at night and still be focused on what it is we got to do to get the job done. So, we try to put them in different atmospheres and put them in different scenarios that would that would mimic a playoff situation, going on the road, playing at night, stuff like that.
Sean Gilbert joining us, the head baseball coach at Servite High School. You know, you were a little bit above a 500 team a year ago, right about 500 in the Trinity League. What's different about this year's team that there seems to be a real feeling around, you know, this year's Friars that this year can be a different team?
I think it's a couple of different things. One, we got a little taste of some playoff last year, and we went into the second round last year, which, you know, no one's really done at Servite in a long time. I don't even know when the last time is we got past the first round as a baseball program. It's that, and I think we're kind of an older group. We're 13, 14 seniors heavy that have been through the program for 4 years now. They've seen the league. They've seen they got a taste of some playoff stuff and the ability to compete. They love to compete, and I think that's what separates this group from, you know, years past. I wouldn't say last year, but years past, is that we have some pitching. You know, we can swing the bats a little bit, and there's different ways we can beat you, and we don't have to rely on just pitching and defense. We think. I mean, right now we're only four games in, but
yeah.
we think it's a different feel, and the kids actually create a different feel. It's not nothing we do per se, and I think the buzz is that we're better than we were last year. But that's yet to be seen. We have to perform on the field. On paper, we're really good. But we have to, what I challenge these guys every day with is the paper doesn't matter. What matters is when you show up between the white lines, and we have to make what's on paper a reality. And that's the difference. And, you know, it's a little bit different to sneak up on people than it is to play with expectations. And that's where we are now in really uncharted territory for our guys is, you know, there's some expectations on them now. From what they created in the program in 4 years of actually doing some winning. So the expectation is there, and then playing with that expectation as a player is a little bit different field, and nobody thinks we're any good and we're going to sneak up on people. That's not the case. So, I think there's a buzz about this year, and it's created probably because we have an older group and we've been through some things together, and hopefully it makes us stronger and to finish out this year with a good, strong showing.
Yeah, obviously winning breeds confidence in a team. You know, is this a group where maybe this senior heavy group has a chance to do something special and now set a course maybe for the younger kids that are going to come along and really kind of you know, maybe change the course of where Servite baseball is headed here in the next, you know, few years?
Yes, but unlike other, you know, college experiences, we don't recruit the guys that come in. I mean, we get who we get, and we try to make the best of it. And 4 years ago I took over, and it was a really, really athletic freshman class, which are now seniors, and they've kind of created it on their own. I mean, we've, as coaches, we've helped them a little bit, but that's what we talk about. That's kind of what we try to preach is to the younger guys is, listen, this standard has been set by this older group, the senior group, for the last 4 years, and we need to maintain that standard and play to the level that we've achieved so far. And we can't go backwards. We need to continue to go forward and continue to get better and to continue to play with expectations of being a good program. And it's really up to the players to make that happen on the field. We talk about it every day. We can have the best practice plan in the world. We can have the best lineup in the world. But it's up to the players to go out and execute and play what's in front of them.
You mentioned you're playing the players who come to you. Who's coming to campus? Who's coming to Servite? Who do you want to see come to campus and say, hey, I want to be a Friar baseball player?
What we look for is, we hope for is, you know, a high character guy that is going to work. I mean, we want workers. We want guys that they're blue collar in their thinking and maybe a really good athlete that need to be developed. And we preach development. We try to breed development. We try to get them better every day by our work ethic and demanding that they take the time, take the weight room serious. And we work all summer on the baseball portion of it. And that's the kind of kid we're looking for, blue collar guys that want to get better and want to learn and that don't have all the answers, because none of us have all the answers. The longer you play this game or you stay in this game, you realize how much you don't know. So it's just that type of player that wants to get better and wants to learn and is hungry for information, is hungry to get better and wants to, we say, grind every day, and it's hard hat and lunch pails every day. And that's kind of the mentality that we try to bring to the field every day and to we try to get across to our players. Because if you want to be good at anything, and this isn't just baseball. If you want to be good at anything, you have to put the time in. And we tell them that your work ethic has to meet your goals. You want to play in the big leagues, you can't work like a little leaguer. You want to play college baseball, you got to work like a college baseball player, and then some, because a lot of you don't have the God-given the talent to be just walk on a campus and play. You have to work at it, and your work ethic has to meet your goals. And if that's not going to match up, well, then you're just dreaming and hoping. That's all. And we try to get the work ethic to match the goals. If you want to win a CIF championship, or you want to go into the playoffs and you want to win this Trinity League, then our work ethic every day has to match up what we say we want to do.
Right. It's so true. Sean Gilbert joining us, head baseball coach at Servite High School. Obviously, your backstory, you know, your time spent in the minor leagues, finally getting a crack at the big leagues, all that whole story, your experience, does that buy you a little more credibility, you know, with the kids, you know, right after that? They know that you practiced what you're preaching.
No, not really. I'm too old. I think, you know, they probably looked up my stats and realized I was just an average player, so that doesn't hold a whole lot of water with them. But I think sometimes it does, because I tell them all the time, hey, man, I made more errors than all you guys put together in my career. I've struck out more than all you guys will ever strike out. So I try to bring a little bit of reality to it. I understand that the game's hard. We all played the game. The whole coaching staff has played the game at a high level. So we understand what you're going through. So trust us when we say that we understand what you're going through, but here's how we get through it. Here's how I got through it as a player. So a little bit of experience, I think, from the playing side, I think that's what they, I don't know if they respect it. I'm assuming they do, but that's what we can bring to them and say, here, when I struggled, I did this, or when I was going well, I did this. And then you have to create a routine as a player that prepares you mentally every day to be at your best. And that's really it. I don't think that it matters if I played or not. I don't know. You'd have to ask the players. I don't really ever talk about my career to them unless they ask. I don't really put it out there. It's not that I'm embarrassed about it. It's just that it's not necessary. This is what's on the practice plan today. This is what we're going to do today. And here's why. And let's go do it. You know, and I think we have some buy-in from that. And because they want to get better and they see that we train, we practice what we preach. We all work hard as coaches. And I think that, if anything, was what they probably would respect. I don't really know. You'd have to ask them, but I don't really bring up my career to them. It's not important. It's really irrelevant unless they want to say, how did you deal with these situations? How did you deal with this? You don't have to be a professional player to be a good high school coach. I really don't think that. But you have to be a lifelong learner, and that's what we're trying to preach, is you got to continue to learn from the game and continue every day to try to get better at your craft, whatever it may be, whether it be piano or baseball or guitar, whatever, anything. You have to continue to try to get better at it, and that's kind of what we try to bring on a daily basis to them.
We'll take a quick break right here on Catholic Sports View, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Sean Gilbert, the Servite head baseball coach, and talk about his professional baseball career a little bit and the 10-year road he spent in the minor leagues to get there. Much more right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us on Relevant Radio.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Thanks again for sticking with us this week right here on Catholic Sports View. We continue our interview with Sean Gilbert, the head baseball coach at Servite High School. I think the takeaway maybe from your career and what you can, you know, obviously in the teaching aspect to these kids is that, hey, look, you know, you had a dream. You wanted to be a big league ball player. You set out to get that. And 10 years in the minor league spent trying to get to that point, you know, you didn't give up, you know. So whether the kid wants to be a baseball player or whatever they want to do in life, it's all about, you know, grabbing onto that and working your tail off to get there. And then you, because of your hard work, you know, you were able to say, hey, I was a big leaguer, you know.
Yeah, I think maybe from that end, but that's really what the school is about, not just my life and my career.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what Servite's about as far as, you know, you may not be the most talented guy, but if you show up and work every day, good things can happen if you have the right attitude and you're willing to take some chances and you're willing to battle through some tough times and, you know, take that work ethic into the workplace. You can make the best of whatever you can be if you just continue to grind at it. And my situation is if I stand in front of my team, I'm probably the smallest guy out there. So being about 5'8", they might draw some inspiration out of that I played for a long time because of, I mean, I'm not much to look at as far as, you know, a specimen. When you think of a big league athlete, it's not, my picture's not right there. So yeah, I think if you have to be willing to go through some tough times, and that's what the school preaches. That's what we preach. And tough times don't last, but tough people do. It sounds like a cliche, but that's really what we're all about at Servite, is work ethic and continue to grind in the face of adversity. And hopefully some of that rubs off and they become life lessons for these guys.
Yeah, and obviously having a faith to fall back on too, which is a big part of Servite as well.
Yes, faith, absolutely. And then without my faith, I wouldn't have lasted in baseball. That's the number one thing that I had every day was my faith in Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I knew that I could go as hard as I could every day, because at the end of the day, that wasn't going to change. You know, the circumstances changed, but my faith was always there, and the Lord was always there guiding me all the way through. And that's what my takeaway from minor league baseball is that I played for a long time. None of it really matters, but my faith mattered every day, and that's what got me through, me and my family as well. I had a wife and for 10 years in the minor league system, and that having that faith every day is what got us through in times of not having a job in the off season, and being concerned with what's going to happen next, where are we going to go next. And if you have that grounded faith in Christ, then you know that all things happen for a reason, and whatever it may be, it's his plan, not my plan.
Sean Gilbert is joining us, former big league ball player, now the head coach at Servite High School. Fourth year at Servite? Do I have that right?
This is my fourth year.
Fourth year, correct.
This is our fourth season, yes.
Obviously, you know, you talked earlier in the interview about, you know, maybe being the team that sneaks up on people. A year ago, you know, everybody was talking about Orange Lutheran in modern day, and it was St. John Bosco, who obviously a talented team, but kind of snuck up on everybody a little bit and ended up winning the Trinity League. Having seen the way, Coach Barbara and the Braves did it a year ago, do you feel like maybe there's a chance for the Friars to be kind of that year's version of a team in the Trinity?
Yes and no. I don't think that in this day and age with social media, I don't think you're going to sneak up on anybody, especially in Southern California.
True.
I mean, there's so much baseball talk every day that goes on, and everybody's wondering who's ranked where, and that doesn't matter to us. For the people in the Trinity League, I don't think anybody was surprised at Bosco. I mean, they had a good, really good team. We knew that was coming. I think maybe on the outside others didn't know, but we all knew what they had. I mean, you see it from year to year, and you see the young guys, and, you know, we weren't surprised. We're never surprised by the, I guess you would say, more talented teams or more popular teams. You know, Modern Day's always good. Orange Lutheran's always good. Jay Sarah's always good.
Yeah.
So we don't look at this thing as, hey, you know, we just play it day to day and then let it happen. And whatever happens at the end of the season, we'll look back and say, hey, we could have done this better. We should have done this better. We need to really get better at this. But really, any given week, the Trinity League is like a college schedule.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal in college. Well, every week you come out of the week, and ours is Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. You come out of the week thinking, man, we should have swept those guys, or man, we could have got swept. So really, week to week, the standings can change, and that's why you just got to take it one week at a time, one game at a time, and really just focus on here and now, because those things can change so fast. But we're not surprised by anybody else being good in the league. We know everybody's good in any given week. You can have an off week. You can be down a little bit, or something can happen, and you could be, you know, chasing a couple games. So we really try to take that serious week to week, and just take care of today. Tomorrow and Friday or whatever is ahead of us, we'll be there when we get there. But we need to take care of today and keep today important. And that's the league is really, really exciting. I think that's why it's so popular, because any given week, man, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, that's a tough grind for high school kids. But we really, really enjoy it. I think everybody in our league enjoys the competition and the camaraderie of playing three games a week. There is nothing like it as far as the high school schedule goes. I know some other teams do, other leagues do it as well, but I just think that's the best way to go in high school. I would like to push for more high school games. You know, I think 30 is the max you can do.
Right.
I would like to push for more high school games, because we are getting into a situation where they're playing more travel ball games than they are playing high school games. And that's, I think we've flipped the script a little bit too much and made the outside baseball more important than high school baseball. Just in our perception of what's important. It wasn't like that when a lot of us were younger, and, you know, high school season was the most important thing. And I just think that's more games would allow you. I don't know how you do it, and I'm not pushing that agenda and by any means. I just think you practice all year for 30 games, and it usually comes down to the last week of season. So it would be interesting if they would think about, you know, possibly playing more games, and it would allow more kids to play. It would allow more participation in high school baseball. Maybe we keep bigger rosters with more participation. And the great thing about the three games a week in the training is you get to see everybody's team. You don't get to face one pitcher every week, or, you know, their two best pitchers every week. You have to see the whole team. And that's what's really, really good about it. And same thing in college. You can't get through college season with just three pitchers. You know, you have to have a bullpen, you have to have some depth, and you have to, you know, be fortunate. And I guess lucky is what everybody uses. But that's the way the high school game, our league, goes. And that's what's really special about it, is you get to see everybody's whole team. You can tell what kind of team it is. You're not just facing the same two pitchers every other week. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does, because especially in the Trinity League, more than I think almost any other league, because, right, there's no chance to say, oh, well, hey, we get to play so-and-so this week. Maybe we can throw a sophomore out there, or we can kind of, you know, here's a lower. There's no lower team in the Trinity League. There's no team you can kind of take a game off or a couple of games off. It's the top competition every time.
Yeah, and that's really true in Southern California baseball.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you can take it one step further. Our league is really good, but, shoot, you can get beat by anybody, and that's the great thing about baseball. It's not even Southern California. It's just baseball in general. You can run into a great pitcher one day, and the next, you know, you get beat by a team that you think you're better than, and it's just part of the game. It's part of life.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it goes, especially down here. I mean, there are no easy games, and especially with the rule that you have to be .500 to get into the playoffs if you don't win your league. That makes it really, really challenging. So every game becomes super important, because you want to be well above .500 when you get into Trinity League by the time you get to league, because you know you're not going to go 15-0 in that deal. So it just, you know, every game is really important. That's what makes it special.
Yeah. Sean Gilbert is the head coach at Servite High School, and he's joining us. You know, we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, 10-year, you know, minor league career, you know, obviously, you know, holding on to that dream. What was it like for you in 97, the first time you got the call that, hey, you're going to come up and you're going to become a big league ball player?
It was special, obviously. Everybody says the same thing about it.
Right.
It was special. It's a dream come true, and it was. But if you go back to the summer before, I had went into Tom Gamboa's office, who's my manager in AAA, and asked him, hey, Tom, am I wasting my time here? Is this just a pipe dream or what? Do I have any shot at all of ever getting called up? And, you know, he kind of just said, hey, listen, man, just keep doing what you're doing. I don't know why you haven't been called up. You know, you're a really good player. Whatever he said, he encouraged me. And so I stuck with it and ended up playing for 17 years. And then I ended up getting that call. So yeah, it was a special time, and I had played for Bobby Valentine the year before in AAA,
So that was a good thing. It was comfortable to go up and play for him again. And, you know, I'll never forget my first at bat. I walked to the plate, and I don't remember walking to the plate. It was like I was in an outside of my body experience type of thing. And it was pretty cool. Now, I wish I could have played longer up there, but it is what it is. The career, everybody's career ends. And this is what I tell the guys is, listen, baseball's coming to an end for you at some point, whether you play for 20 years or you play for 2 years, it's coming to an end. It's either, and you have to figure out what to do with the rest of your life. And that's the really most important thing.
Yeah, it's so true. And obviously, you know, the chance to get into coaching and be able to impart that kind of wisdom on kids. Obviously, that's something that I imagine appealed to you, was getting into the coaching side.
Yes and no. I tried to get out of the game completely because I had been in it so long. And my family, I have four kids. And so it was a challenge to continue on to minor league coaching or something, because everyone always told me, you're going to be a coach, you're going to be a lifer in this game. I'm like, there's no way I'm doing that. So I saw the toll that it took on family. So I tried to get out of it for as long as I could. And then one day I got a call from a guy, and he asked me if I wanted to coach. And I said, no, I got a job. I don't need a job. And so I started talking to him, and I got off the phone with him. And my wife said, that's the most excited you've ever been since you retired, so I think you should take the job. So her perspective was really good, and she's the one that basically got me back into coaching, or got me into coaching, not got back into it, but it was her perspective that got me into coaching about something that I didn't know that I needed, and I guess I did. I still needed the game in some way, shape, or form. And, yeah, this is the second best thing. If you can't play, you might as well coach.
Right.
I'd much rather play it, but coaching has its own set of rewards. The hardest thing is you have no control of the game. Once you either put the sign on or don't put the sign on, you have no control in the dugout.
Right.
It's up to the players to play. And that was the hardest thing to get used to, is you can't run out on the field. You can't make a great play. You can't get a hit. You can't do anything about it. You just basically have to try to manage, I guess that's it, manage the game from the dugout. And that was the hardest thing to get used to for me, wanting to run out there and do something about it, but you just couldn't.
Right,
you know,
right.
And that was a hard transition once I got into this side of the game.
Well, once baseball's in your blood, it's always there, right? So, I mean, that's the whole point. Coach, we want to thank you for joining us this week on Catholic Sports TV. Thanks for giving us a little insight into your career. And obviously, the Friars, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about them this baseball season, I have a feeling. So good luck, and we'll keep track of the Friars as we head down this season.
Well, thank you. I hope you guys are talking about them, too. I hope we have something that's positive to talk about moving forward. And I just thank you for allowing us to be on your show and giving us the opportunity to talk about Servite High School.
Hey, it's our pleasure. Sean Gilbert, the head baseball coach at Servite High School. That will wrap up our show once again this week. I want to thank all my guests, Sean Gilbert, Chris Ledyard, and of course, Frank Burleson. Don't forget Burleson on basketball.com to get all that great basketball insight. That state open tournament is really going to be a lot of fun. If you're a basketball fan, get out there and watch some of that great basketball out there. And Modern Day's got a heck of a chance to win another state championship. If you want to catch this show again or any of the others, simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio. Just click right on our logo right there for Catholic Sports View, and you can listen to all the shows that are archived right there on the website. Thanks again for joining us once again, and we'll catch you next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.
Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify
him! When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Thérèse. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Freed Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land Cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.